Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And Dr. Dobson, there really is only one word for our program last time, and that is sobering.
Well, that's a good word for it, Luann. It was a troubling topic, to use another word. And yet it's a very important topic as we took a look at the vast promiscuity that young people today are involved in and the sometimes devastating consequences that activity is having on their bodies, their minds, and their souls.
And just in case parents haven't caught on yet, the content we're going to continue covering today is not for your younger children.
And yet we're here for those little ones, Luann.
Yeah.
We want to arm parents with the information that will allow them to protect their children and especially their daughters from the aftermath of casual sexual behavior. And our guests, Dr. Freda McKissick-Bush and Dr. Joe McElhaney, did that as they joined us yesterday. The repercussions of the rampant hookup culture, which are mainly sexually transmitted infections and unplanned pregnancies, always impact girls more dramatically than their male counterparts for reasons that we're going to hear. And listen to these statistics. 30% of ninth grade girls say that they've had sex. 65% of high school senior girls have, and a breathtaking 80% of women aged 20 and 21 have had sexual intercourse. The implications of that for abortion, for disease, for a poverty of the soul are breathtaking and almost impossible to put into words.
Well, they just tell a rather sad tale, Doctor. I'm just thinking of those many parents who think that their daughter is not sexually active, may have their eyes opened right now, because those stats that you just cited really advise some vigilance. I will say I'm looking forward to hearing some advice now from these experts about how to talk to our teenagers about this topic.
Well, let's get right to it and introduce our distinguished guests. Dr. Joe McElhaney and Dr. Freda McKissick-Bush are both board-certified OBGYNs. Dr. McElhaney spent nearly 30 years in private practice before he left to found the Medical Institute, which is a nonprofit organization that focuses on education and research and on the topic of sexual health. As a matter of fact, Dr. Bush is now the CEO of the Medical Institute and is still in private practice. Together, they've written two books. The first, which we addressed here on Family Talk, was called Hooked: New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children. Their newer book, which is the topic of our conversation today, is titled Girls Uncovered: New Research on What America's Sexual Culture Does to Young Women. Dr. McElhaney and Dr. Bush, it's so good to have you here again. You have so much information for parents to know and learn about, and we're going to do what we can to get that across to them today. Last time, Dr. Bush, you used a different phrase or a different designation for sexually transmitted infections. It used to be called sexually transmitted diseases. You changed it, and it's not fair for you to change the nomenclature like this, but you did do that, but for a reason.
Yes. Actually, the Center for Disease Control would probably take credit for doing that. Infections may be present, and the person is not even aware that they're infected. But after that infection has had an opportunity to work inside the body, then the disease process that is a result of the infection is why we call it disease.
So it may not have progressed to a disease
state.
That
is correct. So you, for example, get infected with chlamydia or gonorrhea, you're unaware of it. But 3-4 years down the line, you get PID and infertile. That is now a disease.
Think of a 17 or 18 or 19 or 20-year-old girl who hasn't really tasted life at all, and marriage is probably in her future, at least she hopes it is. And that's going to change everything.
That's right. Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking about a patient, a young high school girl who had sex with a big jock at a small community near Austin. And she had had abdominal discomfort for a year before she was finally referred to me. And it was clearly a pelvic infection from a sexually transmitted disease that the doctors were treating with the wrong antibiotic. So I treated her with the right antibiotic. Her pain went away. But that young woman probably was sterile from that infection that she got from that guy.
Joe, does that break your heart to see these girls in the prime of life with so much excitement and so many possibilities for the future, for education, for marriage, for children, just mess it up because of a momentary excitement?
Yeah. It really does. But one of the things I wanted to interject, as you all began talking about sexually transmitted infections just now, is that young people still don't hear much about them. And I'd like to say one reason why, and that is that when someone gets a herpes infection or gets a human papillomavirus infection, which can be a wart on the girl or guy's genitalia, they don't talk about it. They go to the doctor and cry in the doctor's office, but they don't go tell their friends. And that's why, even though these things are so common, 10% of sexually active girls are infected with chlamydia right now, and yet they don't go talk to their buddies and their friends about it. So they think it really doesn't happen very much, and it does.
What's the percentage of girls that have a sexually transmitted infection of any kind? Of all of them together. I mean, you take syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, herpes, on it goes.
Well, we do know that 50% of the STDs in the United States are in young people, 15 to 19 years of age. So I'm not sure how they would extrapolate into a girl, but I can tell you that one of the fastest growing HIV-infected age groups is also 15 to 24-year-olds. Mm. So some of the diseases don't have symptoms, and you can cure them. Some of them you cannot.
About 20% of Americans have herpes infection. 10%, as I just mentioned, about 10% of sexually active teens are infected with chlamydia. About 50% of sexually active people are infected with human papillomavirus. So you really could say almost all young people who have had sex with more than one or two partners are infected with a sexually transmitted infection of some type.
It will happen to you,
essentially,
right? I mean, if you sleep around just a little bit, it will happen, and you'll find yourself with one or more infections.
There's an expression that says you pay to play.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But even when you use a condom consistently and correctly with each act of intercourse, which it has to be done in order for it to have these rates, it's about 50% effective for chlamydia and gonorrhea, which we've been principally talking about. It's about 85% effective for pregnancy and HIV. And most of the young people, when they hear the information about being responsible, they assume that it is 98% because the package says 98% effective. But that's ideal, not typical use, and that's in the lab. That is not in everyday life. However, when you go to the media or when you are faced with some of the sex education programs that are not abstinence-focused, you get the impression that I'll be okay if I use a condom, not recognizing that the condom only covers what the condom covers.
Well, what this means, in effect, is there's not only misinformation out there, but there are lies out there. You cringe. Why did you cringe when I said that? You don't like. You're a physician. You want to be scientific, and you don't want to overstate a case. But I'm telling you what the kids are seeing on television and in the internet and in the movies is based on lies.
We can talk about what the media says and
all right. Tell me what are the lies? What are the myths? Let's call them myths.
Let's start off with the first one that Frieda was bringing up, and that is that condoms will protect. The chairman of our board for many years was a guy named Dr. Tom Fitch, a pediatrician in San Antonio. He's a great friend of all of us. And he knows more about condoms than anybody in the world, literally. And it just drives him nuts when he sees in the media that the statement that condoms protect, because they do not protect. They may reduce the risk for someone if they will use the condoms consistently and correctly, which, like Frieda just said, is mostly a lab thing. The second lie, and they are lies, really, and that is that all a girl has to do is use contraception, and it'll keep her from getting pregnant. Even for married couples using birth control pills on a regular basis, there is about a 6% per year pregnancy rate using birth control pills. Now, teens don't use them nearly as well as married women do. Then there's the lie that these things really won't hurt. And I think that's one of the worst lies, because they hurt not only, as we've talked about, with sexually transmitted disease, they hurt with out-of-wedlock pregnancy. And one that we haven't talked about yet, but I think we probably will before this is over, is how they hurt the emotions of the young person. Those are lies to say that young people can be involved sexually and it doesn't hurt them. And then finally, I think that it really does hurt them spiritually, and we mentioned that before too. Yeah.
Dr. McElhaney, talk about the consequences of abortion. And there's another myth that is bandied about, that there are no consequences to abortion, but we now know that's not true.
Yeah, Dr. Dobson, I think you're familiar with an organization called the American Association of Pro-Life OB-GYNs.
That I spoke for your group on one occasion. You don't remember that, but it was magnificent speech.
I know. I do remember you speaking.
I was
for
at
it.
My best that
night. I think you were, and we greatly appreciated the effort that you went to. But for about abortion, that organization is very much like the Medical Institute is about sexually transmitted disease, pregnancy, and all these other things. They have the best data out there. And they show that there probably is a direct relationship between abortion and breast cancer. They show that there is clearly a direct relationship between a woman who's had an abortion and a greatly increased risk of her being on drugs and alcohol and having depression. There's a very clear relationship between a woman having an abortion and ill health later on, even shortened life. There's almost for sure a direct relationship between an abortion and a woman's increased risk of attempting and committing suicide.
And what you've just said is really evidence-based medicine. You can see the statistics. I mean, they will speak for themselves. And yet women are not told that there could be very serious consequences to abortion.
And there has been a very large meta-analysis that has been published recently by Priscilla Coleman that outlines the psychological, emotional effect of abortion. And it is covering all of the literature that is available in the world. And so it is evidence-based that there is a significant effect emotionally and psychologically.
Is that information suppressed?
That information is not supported in the news media, though medically journals, it is peer-reviewed published information. There's also a study that shows that there's an increased risk for premature labor, and premature infants are at greater risk for infant mortality. So in the African-American community in particular, they talk about our high infant mortality rates, but we also have a high abortion rate. So it's not rocket science really to connect the two dots.
It turns out that God knew what he was doing, and he gave guidelines for us and commandments to us in the scripture. I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. That's pretty clear,
isn't it?
That ought to be taught to every teenager.
That's right.
And it's also important to know that God created sex, and he did it for a purpose. He made it enjoyable so that people would want to do it. They would repeat that behavior because pregnancy was expected to occur as a result of that behavior. And it would also attach or bond the two people, the mother and the father, together to take care of the children that were the offsprings of that act. Yeah. So he made it enjoyable. He made you want to repeat it so you would get pregnant and take care of the children and the society would continue. Mm-hmm. So he designed it, he commanded it, but he gave you the ability to do it. And to do it well.
And within the context of marriage.
And have fun while you were doing it.
You know, and, I kind of like the idea.
Yeah, I do too. And Frieda and I were talking about that on the way over here for this program today. And that is that those are not constraining, restricting rules that make life harder and worse. Those are freeing guidelines for human beings. Mm. It makes our lives better when we follow those guidelines that you just read from Scripture. Because God knew He made us. He knew how we were made.
And that's not an isolated Scripture that I've chosen here. That's kind of proof text. I mean, it is all through the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. Flee from sexual immorality. All of the sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. It's pretty clear what the Lord had in mind here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christian parents really want their kids to understand that, I think, in general. And I think Christian parents particularly need to understand that the kids, when they're asked who gives them the most guidance as far as their behavior goes, not just sexual behavior, but behavior in general, are parents. And I think a lot of Christian parents and other parents, too, don't really believe that the kids are listening to them. So I think that the encouragement that we would give parents, all parents, not just Christian parents, but all parents, is that the kids are listening. When you're talking to them and they give you that dumb, stupid look, like, well, I already know that, they still are hearing and they still are often following the guidelines that parents give them, even into college. The data shows that even in college, the parents are often the ones that the kids are listening to for their behavior.
Dr. Bush, I want you to take that just a step further then. For the parent listening who says, I'm going to sit down with my daughter, she's perhaps 13, 14, 15, what should she say to her?
First of all, you let her know that you care and that you love her and you're not trying to be a killjoy, but that's a reason that God has given parents, to guide them and lead them as they are establishing standards for their own lives. And it's not inappropriate for you to even share some of your personal experiences that you've had, not details, but say, I can advise you because of the experience I've had, and here is one of the pitfalls you may avoid that I did not. They can also just let them know that I am here to be with you. That's why God gave children parents. And the providing of information is an affirming, it's an authoritative, not authoritarian. It is nurturing for them. And as Dr. McElhaney said, many studies show that when the parents have had the conversation that is ongoing, the young people know what it is that they think and what they expect. They're more likely to do it. And if they've had the sexual conversation with their parents and they know what their parents think about condoms and contraception, they're less likely to participate in that activity. And the hugs and the words of affirmation just keep that communication going. Time spent with your child is time that is well invested.
Luann, I have mentioned before a critically important night in my childhood when I was riding in the car with my mom and dad, and I was in the back seat, and my mom and dad were, obviously my dad was driving and my mom in the passenger seat. And we began talking. I was 11 years old and began talking about things that I needed to know as I grew older. And one of them was with reference to sexual activity, sexual behavior. And I didn't understand much about what it was. I learned a lot that night. But my dad said to me, I can remember the conversation as though it were happening today. He said, I want you to know something. There will come a time when a girl will offer herself to you. And I want you to be ready for that moment when it comes. I don't want it to take you by surprise, because you need to decide right now what you're going to do when you're confronted with that situation and what God would have you do. And he talked me through that whole thing. I was 11 years old. Mm. It stayed with me. Here I am at this stage of my life, and it is still with me. And I heard it. And it influenced me. And I can tell you that as I grew older and began dating and had access to the car and went off to college too, I was keenly aware that I was not alone in that car with a girl, that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was in there too. And it was not my mom and dad that kept me moral. And Shirley and I were both virgins when we got married. And that is the most precious thing in our relationship. It is an exclusive act between us, something that bonded us together, because I learned to control my own passions in that regard.
You were covered.
You were covered.
And I would like to add how important that conversation was with your father, and how important fathers' conversations are with their daughters.
Yeah.
They need to hear it from a man who cares what it is that they expect of them and the type of young woman that he expects them to be. He needs to also touch and hug them in ways, even as they begin to fill out, ways that let them know, I've got you covered and that I'm here for you. Because girls don't have to then search for that with another man outside who may not have the same care for them.
There's a book by a well-known author called Bringing Up Girls that talks about that so well.
Very well.
Dr. Dobson, I mean, you really hit that nail on the head in that book. Boy, I would encourage parents, particularly dads, to read that book.
I spent 3 years writing that book, Joe, and it was a passion for me and an assignment that I felt came from the Lord, because I see these young women out there that you're talking about too, and they're being taken advantage of. You know, the hookup culture is disastrously wrong, and parents are seemingly unaware frequently of the implications of it. Luann, I am enjoying this conversation so much because I know it is being useful to our listeners. And I wish every parent in the country could hear what we're talking about today, because it is so relevant to a hookup culture that has descended upon the next generation. And if parents are going to oppose it and to teach what the Bible has to say about premarital sex and morality, they're going to have some information. And that's what we're doing today.
A lot of great information. So I think we could keep going and get some more
Thank
from
you
these
so
guests.
Much
we're not done yet. So I tell you what, I'd like you all to just stay where you are. And as soon as we go off the air, we will continue to talk about this subject, because there's another program here if we just take the effort to prepare it. So
Thank
would you.
You
do that with us?
Certainly.
It's in our hearts.
Well, we sure can tell that. To parents listening, we hope this conversation, both yesterday and today and again tomorrow, will be a tool in your hands for those of you who desperately want to keep your children safe from some of these pitfalls that we've talked about. And certainly, Mom and Dad, we have lots more resources here at Family Talk to help you. Of course, it begins with a copy of our guest's book. It's called Girls Uncovered, New Research on What America's Sexual Culture Does to Young Women. And also, we have copies of Dr. Dobbs' book, Bringing Up Girls, available. I would highly recommend both of these. You can request them at drjamesdobson.org, or when you call us, write down the number 877-732-6825. I would also ask that you consider clicking on that donate tab when you're online and contributing to the ministry here at Family Talk. Thanks so much for listening. And as you heard, we invite you to be back again tomorrow for our final day with Dr. Joe McElhaney and Dr. Freda McKissick-Bush. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
We all know you love keeping up with old friends and posting pictures of your kids on Facebook, but did you know you can also find America's foremost family authority there? For up-to-date program information and the latest articles and insights from psychologist and best-selling author and my dad, Dr. James Dobson, go to your Facebook page and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook. Join the growing number of fans and like us today.